So we were just off air talking a little bit about closers and how much fun we're having with closers in fantasy baseball, and we're not having fun.
Well, you know, I think the numbers are something like 6 out of 10 closers lose their job to injury or incompetence, and the Giants just lost their closer to the disabled list, and the Nationals are a mess for closer, and it's been some ugly end of the game baseball. Though the coincidence, irony, whatever, the rain on your wedding day of it all was how amazing was the World Series last year when it came to relievers. It was like this whole new day had dawned of like these amazing relievers, and now it's just garbage time.
Okay, garbage time it is for
closers. Hey, speaking of garbage time, this is foul territory.
Foul territory. I'm at John Sumple. You're at Jed Rigney.
That's correct. I can attest to both of those.
Although we've only met each other, what, once? Twice?
No, we've met each other like 4 times.
Have we? I thought it was once when you were out here for the festival, and then another time when you were out here for a festival, right?
You mean for the film festival for my award-winning films, Fools
right,
on the Hill
correct.
And Nowhere Girl.
Correct.
That's right. We've met twice.
Yes.
Wait.
But we go way back.
Yeah. Like yeah, just twice. Yeah, that's right.
6 years. We've known each other for 6 years. Met
that's
twice.
Right.
But I've talked quite a bit.
Yes. And emailed.
And fantasy baseballed and all
yes.
that good stuff. And
we have fantasized together about baseball.
Well, it started out with editing copy and you submitting to the Through the Fence Baseball website. I was the editor, and it was always about coming up with the best graphics for your posts because they were the funniest things that we were posting on the site. So that was always a weekly fun task for me.
Yeah, it was always a neat thing for me because I would just write the article and be like, all right, well, here it is. And then it would always come back with some graphic that was like a tag onto a joke that was in there. Anyway, it's always a very cool thing. So that I think that's what started the friendship. No one cares about this stuff, but you know what? I do. And
yes.
That's why people are going to hear about it right now. But it was a very cool aspect of our relationship was that the tags onto the jokes that I was
right.
doing really worked.
Right, right. So that's how partnerships are formed.
Yeah. And now here we are.
I'm seeing that we have a corrections thing that you
yes.
want to do for this week.
Okay, so I need to, this full disclosure, right? In Trump's America, I feel like it's the onus is on us now, the people, to be transparent. Last week, I accidentally included Devin Travis on the Are You Buying It list because I had copied and pasted the previous one. And I tried to make up something about how he was hitting the ball harder that week, which he was a little bit. But the full truth is I copy and pasted from the previous form and left him on there accidentally. And I just want everyone to know that, A, I'm sorry. And B, I'm not actually sorry. C, I hope you didn't believe me. And I think I'm a pretty bad liar.
Well, it worked because I went with it.
Oh, okay, good.
I went along. Even though I questioned you, you went with it.
Oh, you know what? I think I am actually a pretty good liar. Don't tell my wife, but I think I am a pretty good liar. But, you know, I'm a writer, so that's part
right.
of writing is basically just being a
full-blown
liar.
Isn't fiction all lies?
Well, see, the really good fiction is based in truth, but is also mostly lies.
Mostly lies, right.
Yeah.
Based on something that you
yeah.
take and turn into something bigger, better than it really was. Or worse
yes.
than it really was, depending on
no, only
the genre.
Better.
Only better. Okay, so
and the other correction.
Oh, there's
we
more.
We talked about the guy. Yes, I know. It's our shame, you know. But we have to wear this. Okay, so the guy who was putting his flushing his friend's remains down the toilets at mm-hmm. we just didn't research. I just saw the headline and grabbed it. Okay, first of all, it was a Mets fan. The guy was a plumber, and he was doing it at Citi Field in Flushing. New York.
Perfect.
I feel like that's a big miss by us. So that's a correction
yeah.
to that story.
That was comedy gold right there.
That's what I'm talking about. It's not so much that we were inaccurate because we were not inaccurate. We just weren't, whatever, detailed.
We didn't take
right?
advantage of the opportunity at the
but
moment.
But we missed it. We yeah. missed it, and that's on us. And also on the listener a little bit.
Right, because they didn't call in during the show. Oh, wait, we don't do it live, so that doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So, listener, we'll take care of it. We'll make sure. I'll hold Jed more accountable. I'll question him when I think that something is awry. Although I probably would have never said anything about the plumber in the ashes.
Right, because I'm such a good liar.
I should have pushed a little harder on the Devin Travis, because Bundy was there and Travis was there. It's like, why are these guys here again?
Okay, for the record, Bundy was supposed to be there.
That was intentional. No, I got that. But when I questioned you on the Travis one, you were like, what are you talking about?
It's soft. Yeah, no, and I was like, oh! So if you ever want to know if I'm lying, I make that sound.
That would be a tell. That's funny. That's good. Okay, let's move on to headlines for
this
week.
Let's do it. Let's talk some baseball.
So should we talk about the baseball element of the Matt Harvey drama, or the kind of pop culture element to the Matt
Harvey drama? There's so much here. First of all, the Mets nonstop with the drama. We've decided to call this segment This Week in As the Mets Turn. And I wish we had some like organ music or the dramatic
soap music, opera, right.
Or like a stinger, something like that.
With Matt Harvey looking over his shoulder. What a disaster this is turning out to be.
It's so crazy. First of all, last week we had all that stuff about Noah Syndergaard and his MRI and not wanting an MRI and then he's injured and he's... and so then Matt Harvey gets suspended by the team for 3 days.
For not showing up.
Though there was rumor that he was suspended for placing a dildo in the locker of in the backup catcher. Then there was a rumor that it wasn't that he put a dildo in there, but he had put Astroglide on the dildo. These are straight up, I'm telling you, these are rumors that were out there. This is real stuff that was out
there. This is not
lying. I'm in New York. I am feeling the pulse of these people. Not literally, but just because that sounds weird. But I'm telling you, these were the rumors. Turns out it's because he, didn't call in. He like called in too late or texted in too late to not show up or something. And they were like, no, these are the rules. You got to be here and let us know. And apparently it's not the first time he's kind of been, jack off motion about the,
But he's done that before where he's kind of like bigger than the team. But
yeah, missed meetings, stuff like that. Yeah.
Did you see the pop culture side of this, though? The fact that he missed the game because he was sad about Adriana Lima going out with Julian Edelman?
No.
Look, when you have a chance, look it up, because apparently he was so distraught about that he was out drinking till 4 a.m., and that's why he didn't show up.
Saturday. Were they previously dating?
They were dating. Lima was dating Edelman. They broke up in March. Then Harvey was, and they apparently they broke up because Harvey was smooching with Lima. However, Lima then attended a Metropolitan Gala with Edelman while Harvey was in with the Mets in Atlanta, and he got so despondent over it. And the quote here is that the dark night became an emotional wreck on May 2nd after paparazzi photos came out showing Adriana Lima stepping from a limo and heading into Rihanna's Met Gala after party with her former boyfriend, NFL star Julian Edelman.
I see. Now, for those of you who are listening who don't know who Adriana Lima is, she was in a Carl's Jr. commercial because she was a mildly famous D-lister. And so if you don't know her, you're probably better off than anyone else.
But she's made her rounds too, isn't she? Didn't she get a gift bag from Jeter?
She may have.
She was one of Jeter's gift bag recipients. I might be wrong, but he's so many gift bags floating out there. But so if that is
notches the on the belt.
Story, yeah. So if that is the true story for Harvey, I can understand the emotional side of it, but at least, fess up to it or make a call at 4 a.m. saying I'm hammered because I thought somebody that liked me doesn't. Wah, wah.
Yeah, I don't know if I would confess to that at all.
Maybe to management, so at least they have a reason for...
I still think I would say something like, my dog got herpes or something. I could go with the lie. You know me, John. I would lie. I would be like, my dog got herpes.
So I'm assuming that next week's show, we'll be talking about something that Jacob deGrom did.
It's got to be something Mets. It's got to be something Mets. It's just a nightmare over there.
And the Mets turn.
Yeah. I mean, remember, this is the same team that traded Wilmer Flores, or almost traded Wilmer Flores, right. And they left him out on the field. He's bawling his eyes out.
Right.
Right?
And then it was just like, psych.
Yeah, and then it turns out, well, the deal fell through because Carlos Gomez was, they didn't like how his
hip was looking.
Something
in the medicals, right. So right.
He was traded, and they left him on the field. Terry Collins, wake up.
That was
brutal. Go get him.
That was actually one of the saddest moments I think I've ever seen on the baseball field. I actually got a little misty eye because I felt so bad. I was watching the game when that all happened.
I got misty eye too, but it was from laughing so hard. No, that's not true. Wouldn't it be awful if that was that guy? Like, sorry, loser, millionaire baseball player.
Yeah, no, take it to the bank. Yeah, it was just
that was brutal.
Wrong. That was just wrong.
It's brutal. That kid was not taking it well.
So on the DL saga.
No. There's more.
Oh, there's more. There's more.
There's one more thing about Harvey that I want to say. First of all, they're talking about now trading him, which of course they can't because he's just having so many trouble.
Too expensive, too crappy statistics.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nobody wants.
But here's the other part of the story was apparently they went to his house,
right?
To see if he was there, like because they were like where, and apparently like he was in his pajamas.
Hung over, crying.
Like, it's a sketch. Like, these guys made a short film.
They probably did videotape it, so there's footage somewhere out there.
Oh, it would be so wonderful.
Dashboard cam footage of Matt Harvey and his jammies going, why are you guys here? It's like, why aren't you at the field? Yeah, that's...
And I remember how great he was like 2 years ago.
Man, yeah, he was all world. They were talking about him as being the replacement for Derek Jeter as the iconic New York sports star.
Yeah.
That didn't happen.
Pretty great.
Yeah.
What's next?
Well, let's move on to, we've talked about the DL thing, the last two shows about how often people are going on the DL. Zach Britton was thought to have just a minor boo-boo, but apparently it's turned into something a lot more serious.
You know, what's interesting about this is I started writing up the, what do we call this thing?
Show notes.
The show notes for today. Started writing it yesterday morning, and yesterday morning it was, he has no elbow trouble.
Right.
That was the report. And then by the afternoon, it was like, oh, yeah, no, he's going to be out for 2 months.
It is crazy because it seems like teams are quick to let you know, or maybe it's the media that's doing this a little bit, because last night it was Robinson Cano had a quad injury. They didn't know how long he'd be out. Today he went 4 for 5.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, are they hurt? Are they not hurt? Do we have any idea if what we're hearing from the teams is accurate or not? It's wreaking havoc on fantasy baseball players, that's for sure.
Yeah, people benching guys that are supposed to be out and they're not, and then they're in, or then they're supposed to be in and then they're out. I don't know. Like, I think the NFL has always been a little bit like that, right? But that's just 16 games, you know? So it's a bigger deal if, you know, Tony Romo isn't going to play this week.
Right. That's a bigger impact. But we use the ESPN app use ESPN for our fantasy league, and my app goes off 6 or 7 times a day, letting me know who's not playing that day.
Right?
It's crazy.
And you have one team.
Just one team. Yeah.
I've got 3 in ESPN, and so it's just constantly going off.
It's like, turn that thing off. What's wrong with your phone? That's what I've heard. What's wrong with your phone?
You get a text. Who's texting you?
Right.
It's my friend ESPN.
Right.
You know, I have ESPN friends.
Speaking of injuries, Jameson Taillon was treated for suspected cancer, and I'm not sure if there was a removal procedure or not for him.
Yeah, look, obviously it would be easy to step in here and make some, you know, ball jokes.
I thought for sure that was coming.
I just feel like it's just too easy, right? But because whatever. But like, this is our team. The Pirates are having a rough time. They're getting their injuries and whatnot. And of course, the Starling Marte. Starling? No, it's Starling Marte.
Starling?
It's Starlin Castro.
Starlin Castro.
Starling Marte. I believe I'm right about that.
Okay.
Anyway. This guy was pretty good, Taillon. He's a second-year guy. You know,
is there a joke?
Controlled the strike zone. Didn't throw a lot of balls. But this ball was a little too inside, if you know what I'm saying. John, I can't help myself.
Well, it's a good thing that they caught it when they could.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You
know, I didn't see the full report about what the procedure was, but I just knew that they thought it was testicular cancer. Or he was tested for that or surgery for that. I didn't see the full thing, but I just knew that there was some suspicion.
Well, if you get one out, you just need tumor. I don't know. This is what happens with my mind. It just starts going. Like, I'll be talking. I was at the Mets game last night, and Jose Reyes was up, and he hit the ball really hard. And all I could think about was Jose Reyes domestic violence jokes. Like, right. What a bad person he is. I was like, he hit that ball so hard that it didn't file charges against him.
Did you start screaming?
No. Not screaming out loud. Just turning to my friend and just saying.
I was thinking. No, this isn't the Dodgers game.
No. This isn't Halle Berry's in my trunk. No.
Right. Well, this would be different though because the Mets were the home team. So.
No. No, there was a guy wearing a Reyes jersey about five seats over, and that's a bold move.
Right.
That's a bold move. I admire his girlfriend that was with him. That is a strong woman. He's my favorite player. Okay. All right. That's not frightening at all.
So we hope that the Pirates and Jameson have a quick recovery.
Yeah, exactly. I hope he's back this year. It sounded like it's a possibility. Yeah, it sounded like it's a possibility.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the Cubs and Yankees doubleheader. From the other night, their 18-inning game.
Epic 18-inning game. Look, for those of you who don't know what weird baseball is considered baseball after midnight because it's not supposed to go that late. But here's the thing. To have weird baseball start at 5, it's unbelievable. It's so great. It just kept going, this game. It just kept going and going. It was great. I love it. And now they're talking about, oh, maybe we need to put like an innings limit on a game. And then what? Go to like a home run derby? What is this, soccer?
Right.
No thanks.
Right.
Is this hockey? No one cares. No one watches those sports. If it's an 18-inning game, it's an 18-inning game. You know what? We're all talking about the 18-inning game. No one's going to talk about they got to 12 innings, so they did a home run derby, and then the Dodgers won.
Or they should just like have each team lines up three people at first base and see how many times the catcher can throw them out. You know, try to steal second, and game over.
Yeah, skills challenge. We'll just have them run the base, like just a speed test around the bases.
So then that brings the speed element to a whole nother level because you want speed on your team. Oh, this could be something interesting.
Yeah, but here's the thing: only pitchers can run.
Well, weren't the last three outs of the game Cubs pitchers hitting?
I think it was.
I think it's
obviously when it gets out to 18 innings, it gets ugly.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting. I think that's a part of baseball where it's like, good, now how are the teams going to recover from that? I think the Cubs got lucky and had the next day they got rained out, right?
Right, right. But they did wind up losing. So the Cubs have now lost, five of their last six games as a result.
Yeah, they lost two out of three to the Rockies.
And was swept by the Yankees.
Yeah.
So the Cubs are heading in the wrong direction. I think they're under 500 now, right?
No, they're
at 500.
They're at, yeah.
Okay.
Which is incredible.
That's a little bit of a surprise that they're, yeah.
Is it a hangover? 17. You think it's like a hangover thing?
I think it's Dexter Fowler.
You think it's like a, look, you know I love the numbers, but there also is sort of like a camaraderie thing. And I mean,
there's a chemistry thing for sure.
You know
sure.
Who's terrible in left field? Kyle Schwarber is a terrible left fielder.
Who's that?
For the Cubs.
Although he made a great catch.
Hey, I'm not saying he can't catch a baseball. I'm just saying, I was watching this Giants team last night versus the Mets. That is a terrible baseball team. Their outfield has a WRC plus of 45. Look, for those of you who don't know WRC plus, it's weighted runs created, and then plus means something. Okay.
Okay.
But basically, it's a number that's like, it's basically a number that's like how well the person hits compared to the rest of the league, mm-hmm. right? 100 is average. The entire outfield of the Giants is 45. Combined is 45.
Oh, yikes.
Okay. Now, look, they can't all be like the Yankees outfield and be, you know, hitting the snot out of everything. Even Ellsbury is hitting right now, and Aaron Hicks can't
whoever,
stop hitting.
Whoever plays in the outfield for the Yankees is hitting. Yeah, everybody is hitting.
It's incredible. But this Giants team is just terrible. And they got Eduardo Nunez, a shortstop, third baseman, playing left field. They got Gorkys Hernandez starting in center. It's not good. It's just so bad. And they got Hunter Mike Pence in right field trying to set up gay conversion camps. Okay, that last part didn't happen. But he's not a great fielder. He's getting old. This is a bad baseball team. What happens when you have a bad outfield is balls start dropping in. And so, like, the game last night, the Mets scored, I think, 2 runs in the first inning. But it should have been no runs. The left fielder should have caught one of the balls. He doesn't catch it. And it goes under his glove for a quote-unquote triple. And I think this is what you have now with the Cubs is you lose Fowler, right? So you got some chemistry. Right. And everyone loves Schwarber, right? But where is he going to play on this team? Left field doesn't work. He can't really catch. And he really should be traded and be a DH somewhere.
Right, and they'd get a lot for him.
Oh, my gosh, they would get so much. And they have so many minor leaguers. They have so many good players coming up. The Cubs do. They have Ian Happ and Heimer Candelario. And, like, these guys are, like, ready to play in the major leagues. But everyone's just backed up because the Cubs refused. Because I thought they were going to trade him last year, but they refused to give him up for, what's his name? Andrew Miller.
Mm-hmm.
They wound up giving up, or for Chapman, right? And so they wound up giving up Gleyber Torres.
Right.
Who's also awesome in the Yankee system. But Schwarber would have been a better player for a National League team to get rid of.
I agree.
And I think we're seeing that. I think we're seeing a lot more balls dropping. No offense, Jameson Taillon.
He better not be listening.
Anyway, I think they'll come around. I still think they're the best team in the National League.
Ooh, better than the...
better than the Nationals, yeah.
Nationals.
I think if the Nationals still had the center fielder that they don't have anymore.
Eaton.
Yeah, if they still had Eaton. Or if they had a closer, then I would say yes.
Yeah, they're hurting in the back of the bullpen for sure.
Yeah, they're losing games. Like, losing games that they were winning with that bullpen. So,
they also have the Dusty Baker wild card.
Yeah, that is the wildest good
for
of cards.
He's good for about 4 or 5 losses.
Yes.
In and of itself. Okay, let's move on to something much more serious.
Yes, maybe.
MLB is investigating the Los Angeles Dodgers for alleged discrimination in termination of one of their minor league development staffers, Nick Francona, Terry Francona's son, who happens to be a war veteran.
Yes.
And it's turned into a pretty big deal.
Yeah, they tried to offer him some money, basically.
Twice.
Like, hey, here's some money. Can we just put an end to this? I'm still not 100% sure that there's anything really here other than Gabe Kapler is kind of a red ass and didn't like Nick Francona. I just find it hard to believe that anyone's on the side of, like, being anti-war veteran. That's a weird side. And I think that's probably why the Dodgers were kind of like, here, just have some money. And
yeah, but here's the thing. Their first offer was $40,000. And then last month...
Well, the first offer was, we're transferring you to another department so you don't have to work with Gabe Kapler.
Oh, was that the first offer?
And he said, for the same amount of money, but he said no because he felt like it was a demotion.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, yeah, if you don't get along with your boss... And they want to keep your boss.
Go somewhere else.
Right. It doesn't matter what ethnicity you are.
So they tried to help
orientation.
Him out.
Yeah, so I think they were kind of like trying to be accommodating for this. They know, look, Gabe Kapler's a red ass. Everyone knows that, right? That's probably why he didn't get chosen as the manager and they chose Dave Roberts instead.
Right. But the eye test doesn't look good when the first financial offer was $40,000
and
the next one was $150,000.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not taking hush money. There's something that needs to be done about this, and I'm going to take it public.
But it just feels like, look, and I don't know enough of the details.
And he's not suing them. He's not doing it. He's brought it to the attention of
MLB. And, like, but what are they going to do? They're not going to give him that job back because his boss doesn't want to work with him.
Right. So it seems like it's more of a principle play for him.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Anything. But a principle of what? Like,
so other
give me the identical job at another team? Well, that's up to the other teams, isn't it?
Or that it's not just baseball, and it's in general. If someone who is a suffering from psychological effects of war, they should be treated accordingly.
And right. So that's also part of the story that we forgot to mention is what he's saying is that he started getting treatment for, I guess it was concussions from his tour of duty in mm-hmm. Afghanistan, and that somehow the fact that he needed to take some time off
and go, that was what Kapler was all upset about.
Right, the Kapler was kind of like, good, take a leave and do it and take care of yourself. But it was probably came across more like, take a leave so that we have someone here who can work all the time.
Right.
So it's sort of like an anti-disability thing.
It's an HR thing more than anything. And not a home run thing, but a human resources issue.
Yes, this is by no means a home run.
No, by no means. And this is a bad PR for the Dodgers, no matter how you look at it.
But it's just, you know, it could just be one of those weird things that happens in America. Like, all right, fine. What do you want? Well, I want my job back. Well, you can't get that. Okay, well then I'm going to make this a big stink for you.
Or he just winds up, you know, it becomes a cause. And he is, you know, being a torchbearer for a cause to make sure that, and in that, it sounds like there's a little bit of that in there based on his, I didn't want to take the money. I don't want this to happen to other people. Yeah. So he might.
I get that. But what I'm saying is like.
Yeah, there's no lawsuit. He's not taking the money. There's no, I'm getting my job back. There's no financial remuneration for it. So where does that leave him at the end of the day?
Right. That's what I'm saying is like MLB can investigate it, and they're going to investigate and find out that Gabe Kapler is a red ass. And you know what? I can do that investigation right now.
And they're going to, the response to that is, so what do you want us to do about it?
Yeah, exactly. Like then it's like, well, it just becomes again, like, look, fine. You want to get, you should get that treatment. You should absolutely. You don't want to be, discriminated against. Mm-hmm. And that's totally fine. But I will say, if you're working a job that requires 80-hour weeks and you're not able to do that because you're receiving treatment, well, your contract's not going to be renewed, or you're going to get moved somewhere else so that you're going to get moved to a desk job.
You're going to be moved somewhere where you're still an employee but in a position that fits your availability.
Exactly.
And it sounds like they were trying to be accommodating there, but...
Yeah, because no one at the Dodgers is anti-war veteran.
I don't think that's the case, though, but what doesn't look good is...
Yeah, it looks terrible.
Yeah, that they've bumped up the amount of money, and it just looks like they're trying to cover something up. Might not be
it looks like hush money.
It does. Definitely does.
But it could just be like, let's wrap this up money. But let's wrap this up money is very similar to hush money. It's a bad look for the Dodgers and for baseball.
It is.
What else?
Speaking of really bad looks. This player hasn't had a good look in about 6 years, I think. From lefties.
One of the great moments in sports was when but conceptually.
And we're talking about Ryan Howard.
Ryan Howard was when he signed a contract extension 2 years before the end of his current contract.
For sick money.
For like crazy money, like so much, too much money for a guy who basically got a lot of RBIs. And you think RBIs have value. Of course they have some value. But in terms of evaluating a player's performance, they're fairly useless. But it's good. RBIs are good because runs batted in means that runs scored. And runs scored means that games are more likely won. But the underlying stuff for Ryan Howard was never really that great. Like how well he hit in certain circumstances, how well he hit against lefties. Anyway, so he signs his contract 2 years before the end of this contract extension, 2 years before, and he blows out his knee on the last play of the game of the last season, or the last game of that season. But he already has this contract extension. So instead of the Phillies being on the hook for the next 2 years, which the blown out knee, by the way, just absolutely accelerated his decline that all big dudes have. All big dudes get bad fast, except for Big Poppy. But he might have been on steroids. So.
And that is
you didn't do that for me.
but the last game that he got hurt on was a playoff game, too. It wasn't a regular season. It was a game against the Cardinals.
Yeah, so he blows out his knee.
Trying to run out that grind. It was like, now I just had a flashback. I mean, he's like trying to run out a grounder at the end. Yeah. It was the last out of the game, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then 2 more years on the old contract plus however many years they had.
I think it was a 7-year, $120 million contract, something like that.
So crazy. It was so crazy. And everyone was just like, what are you doing?
Right, it was. They were like, no. We want to reward him for his season.
Ruben Amaro Jr. was like, no, don't worry, I got this.
Right. So he had a phenomenal season the year before that. I think it was, 2006, 7?
Yeah. No, I mean, he put up some great numbers. Yeah.
His best season, I'm looking here right now, looking it up, 58 homers, 149 RBIs, 313 average in an MVP award.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's pretty phenomenal. But that was one season. He did average during a three-year run. Again, 3 years. 2006, 7, and 8, he averaged 41 homers, 129 RBIs. That's awesome, but you're going to pay a long-term contract on that, and then he doesn't deliver after that. It's not
plus he's a terrible first baseman.
Right.
So again, we got the Miguel Cabrera thing where you're actually creating negative value on the field.
Yeah.
Giving the other team runs.
Last season he hit 25 home runs but batted 196.
Oof. Yeah, so he's just swinging for the fence.
Right. And he can't hit lefties.
And he can't hit lefties.
Yeah, so there's
so then he got picked up by the Braves. They sent him to the minor leagues. He couldn't hit the minor league people.
And he hit even worse. I think he hit one in the 180s in the minors. So it was 184.
Time to go home.
Yeah. One home run, five RBIs, batting average 184. That's not going to get you.
But he does have a giant money pillow to go cry himself to sleep on.
And a World Series ring and a MVP trophy.
And so an MVP, exactly. I think he'll get one or two MVP votes, Hall of Fame votes.
Yeah.
You know, a couple of Philly writers will throw him in there.
Well, I mean, he definitely is somebody who will always be well received in Philadelphia. Let's put it that way. But outside of Philly, people are like, thank God we didn't sign that guy.
And wasn't he part of the Jim Thome problem? Wasn't his career delayed a year because the Phillies went out and signed Jim Thome?
So. Yes.
Yes, I believe that's true. Mm-hmm. That whole Jim Thome thing, don't even get me started about that. The guy gave up a statue in Cleveland to go play for Philadelphia. A DH decided to go play for a National League team. They offered him a statue in Cleveland.
And he turned down the statue?
He turned down the statue because it was a little bit more money in Philadelphia. Come on, Jim. It's a statue. Anyway, I take the statue over the money. That's just me.
Speaking of someone who took the money and ran all the way to
and
Korea,
steroids.
And steroids. Manny Ramirez is making news overseas.
Yes, he had his first home run.
Yeah, for the Kochi Fighting Dogs.
Good for him.
Did you see the video by any chance?
No.
So there's a video out there of his at-bat.
I hope he bat flipped the hell out of it.
He didn't bat flip. It was more of a line drive. I think it just cleared the fence. They showed the camera from center field showing him at the plate, and they never cut away to another view of the home run. But
I don't want to sound racist, but wouldn't the Japanese have like all kinds of cameras on it?
But the field is
the tourists,
all dirt infield.
Oh yes.
So it looked like he was playing in some sand lot, in a commercial park somewhere.
It's like a rec league.
Yeah, it did. It's what it looked like. So, and you could hear the fans, in the background a little bit. So that was his moment. So he was saying he didn't go there just for the money, but he's definitely there for, the money. I don't think he ever has an opportunity of getting back in the major leagues. That was never the intention. It was a PR grab by the Kochi Fighting Dogs, I'm sure, more than anything to put people in the seats. But he delivered with a home run.
Yeah. And maybe he just wants to keep playing baseball,
Yeah, yeah. That's because what is Manny going to do?
Yeah, exactly. Manny being Manny without baseball is
it's boring.
Not much.
Right. It's like, what is he going to do?
Yeah.
I don't see him being a coach.
Yeah, no.
That's not going to happen.
He could be a hitting instructor, right? I mean, some of the hitting instructor that has come along. Some of the hitting instructors why am I having trouble with this word? Instructors. Some of the hitting instructors that have come along in the last decade have been surprising. Like Bonds was a hitting. I thought no way that guy could ever coach anyone.
Right.
But I think he helped Marcelo Zuna out a little bit in Miami, didn't he?
Yes. And he also helped Jose Fernandez with his home run swing.
But not with his other problem.
No.
The cocaine.
Not No, or how to drive a boat at midnight when you're hammered.
When you're hammered and super high on cocaine.
Right.
Look,
right.
Look, we all love Miami Vice, all right?
Right.
But I think reenacting it at 4 a.m. is a bit much. Yeah.
No.
Rest in peace.
Very unfortunate. And I'm a Marlins fan, and that hit home hard when that happened. So, but let's not bring it down. We've already brought it down with Ryan Howard and Nick Francona and Jameson Taillon's Balls and Strikes.
Yes. I'd say that brought it up a little bit, though.
Okay. So let's move on to starting nine.
Yeah.
And in honor of Mother's Day, you have nine players that have what kind of name?
TV moms.
TV moms. There we go. That should be fun.
Right?
Was this a fun one?
This is all right.
Was it this one easy to do, or did you have to muscle through it?
This one was pretty easy.
Okay.
This one was pretty easy.
Let's do it.
Okay, so Roseanne, Xander Bogaerts.
Okay. Okay.
Look, none of these are great. Angela Bauer. Some of you know she was one of the possible answers for the great question, who's the boss?
Okay.
Angela, right? Hey, right. Angela. That's my Tony Danza impression. It's not very good. Trevor Bauer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, same last name.
I've never seen the show, so I...
You've never seen Who's the Boss?
Never saw it.
No, oh, look, this not is not one. Never-ending story level of confusion for me, but still. Yeah, all right, well, it's not that good. So, you're not really missing anything. Moving on. Did I do June Cleaver yet?
Not yet.
Mike Clevenger?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Samantha Steven Strasberg? A little Bewitched?
I like it.
Right? Bewitched, mm-hmm. Samantha Stevens. One of the Darrens was whatever. All right. Morticia Adams, Matt Adams.
Mm-hmm.
I think Matt Adams is still in the league, isn't he?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I think the Cardinals tried him out in left field. Dylan Bundy, Peggy Bundy, right?
That was
one
easy.
Of the great moms. Yeah, mm-hmm. Easy one. Michael Taylor, and this is considered one of the top TV moms ever, Jill Taylor.
Tim Taylor's wife?
Good for you!
There we go.
Good for you.
Tool time.
All right.
There we go.
Home Improvement, for those of you who haven't connected the dots. AJ Griffin, Lois Griffin.
Mm-hmm. I like that one.
Elise Keaton, Jose Quintana.
I always love the ones that are a stretch. That's a good one. That's funny.
Joey Ricard for Lucy Ricard. Oh. And top TV mom of all time, Carol Brady. And I've got Jackie Bradley.
I was thinking you're going to do something with the Carol side. Jackie Bradley.
That's it. That's the starting nine. Actually, I think
that
that's
was a good one. Yeah. So you threw a DH in there?
Yeah. Yeah, let's call it a DH.
That was good. Okay, so we're going to move on to, and happy Mother's Day, moms and mom. And all the moms out there.
That's right.
All the good mothers and the bad mothers. Happy Mother's Day.
And the mother effers.
Them too.
Yes.
So we're going to do something a little bit different this week with Are You Buying It?
That's right.
So in the past, what we've been doing is players who are either showing or having really good starts or bad starts, and whether or not they're going to be were you buying whether or not they were going to continue their current ways. Well, now we're going to do it on the teams.
That's right.
So you have a list of teams that you wanted to go through.
Yeah, and we're going to do all division leaders this time. So okay. The teams that are underperforming, maybe we'll take a look at them next week.
Okay. So let's,
or we'll
let's
just look at players. Because I really wanted to do Yonder Alonso.
Okay, I'm dying laughing right now because Devin Travis is on the list again.
That was how I remind myself. Good. That's the cut and paste, man.
I saw that I saw the list. I didn't look down. I went through the whole thing, and I kind of just glanced over that. And now as I'm looking at it, I'm like, well, why is there seven? And then, boom, Devin Travis. There we go.
That's a little humor, a little behind-the-scenes humor.
He's going to be like our Matt Damon is to Jimmy Kimmel, right?
Yes.
He'll be in every episode.
Yes.
Okay, so let's move through. So what do you think about the Yankees? You buying it?
As a Red Sox fan, I have to say, I hate to say, I am buying it. I am buying it. Everyone is hitting, and the bullpen is great.
Yeah, the bullpen has been outstanding.
And the starting rotation isn't bad. I mean, they don't have an ace, right? But they have a number two with Tanaka.
Mm-hmm.
which whenever I hear his last name, I always think of Dances with Wolves.
Me too.
Right?
I agree. I do too.
Tatanka. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Okay. Those of you who haven't seen that movie, too bad. It's pretty good. Holds up, actually, too.
Yeah.
So, and then they have Luis Severino. Mm-hmm. He's like a three. He's doing good this year. He's had a couple of really great outings, but he's still kind of young and, you know, whatever. Who's the other guy that they have? I can't remember his name. His last name is like Pineda.
Michael, yeah. Pineda.
Yeah. Has a little problem with home runs, hence the nickname Pineda. Jordan Montgomery, not a bad 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. CC Sabathia, not a bad 4 or 5.
And Sabathia, I think, has been a pleasant surprise for Yankee fans.
Yeah, up until about a week ago, yeah. He's kind of melted down a little bit.
He's going 5-6 innings, and he's not doing...
But it's solid, right?
Yeah,
it's
solid.
It's he's a not, solid 4 or 5.
He's not
going to
be a dominant pitcher.
Yeah.
He's just going to... I mean, if he can be an innings eater in the number 5 spot, that wouldn't be a bad thing for them.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think they have the pieces. I mean, I think some of the hitting is going to cool down a little bit just because, you know, you can't have, you know, unprecedented
hitting. Well,
it'll definitely
cool down when Greg Bird gets back.
John's pain, the Greg Bird story.
6 for 60, batting 100, your first baseman, Greg Bird. The pain.
But that's a team that has a huge farm system. Like, it may be the best farm system in baseball.
Nobody saw this coming this fast.
Not this fast. No, I think we talked about them being like an 81 win team, right?
And yeah, we did. But I think most people are thinking that really what the Yankees are doing are jockeying for the Bryce Harper sweepstakes in 2018.
Yeah.
After the 2018 season, so they were, you know, 2 years away. They were going to be super competitive, make some moves next year. But, you know, they're going with the youth movement, a la the Astros and the Cubs and the White Sox. And it's going to play pretty good for a long time.
Yeah.
But the one thing that will kill the Yankees is if any of their pitchers get hurt. If Tanaka goes down, that could cause some problems.
Yeah. I mean, they got Gary Sanchez back, right? Good old mm-hmm. Dirty Sanchez. which is good. So that improves the offense, but like Chase Headley's cooled down a bit. First base has been like a strange vortex of nothingness, but this is a better team than people thought. I think obviously the big surprise has been Aaron Judge, who's cooled off a little bit, but I mean, you know, in the last week, does that even really count as cooling off? Whereas Chase Headley has been more like the last couple weeks he's cooled off.
Yeah. And he's not, Judge is not going to hit 60 home runs.
No. No, but he's going to hit the ball hard a lot, and he's going to get 45.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's a team that could – are they for sure finish in first place? No, I think their playoff odds are currently up to like 65%. Like, there's still a lot of question marks. Health is a big issue with this team.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if someone goes down and you feel like you've got a shot, then you make a trade.
Right.
And then all of a sudden the projection systems are like, well, they would even factor in making a trade.
And they have plenty of resources to wheel and deal
so
with
many.
The trade deadline.
Yeah, it's grotesque. They have like top flight players and like mid-level players. And it's really incredible what they have in the minor leagues available to trade. Most of which they got last year when they traded away their two relievers. So
what do you think about in the NL East, the Nationals?
I think we talked about them earlier. Definitely buying those guys. I don't like Dusty Baker as a manager. I don't like what he does with lineups. Though I did see he had started putting Jason Worth up higher than Michael Taylor. Because Michael Taylor has a 280 on base percentage? And Worth is 340. Like that... It's a slightly better. Maybe the management came to him and was like, hey.
Someone tapped him on the shoulder.
Hey, Dusty.
Hey, old school.
It's better if guys get on base than if they don't. Oh, okay.
That's my impression
of Dusty Baker. Oh, okay.
Well, I think the big sign that maybe he was starting to get it was in spring training, he was talking about having Adam Eaton be the second leadoff hitter, which means he was going to put him in the sixth hole. And he was going to have Trey Turner lead off. It's like, why would you not have those both 1-2? Why would you do that?
That makes no sense. Some of these old baseball ideas are just like, what? Second leadoff? Come on, dude.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Like that doesn't make any – like it doesn't stand to any reason.
So the Nationals definitely have the prolific offense in the National League.
Yeah. Their starting pitching is very good. And
very solid. Even Gio.
But it's that bullpen, man.
Yeah, the bullpen is gonna
and it's been cause some all problems. The way ugly.
Yeah, they've already had four closers, haven't they? Injuries yes. and changes, and it's not a good situation. But they've been talking about it openly and honestly that they were looking for a closer, and they've been looking for 6 months and didn't get anything. So they're still talking about trading. They're still engaged with conversations with the White Sox on Robertson.
Right now, there's rumors that they might be interested in Kelvin Herrera for the. Well, there was, what was the rumor? It was Kelvin Herrera. This isn't the rumor. This is what people were throwing around. Lorenzo Cain and Kelvin Herrera center field and closer. But the problem with that is, like, you're going to pay a lot for that. And, like, what are you going to do? Give up Victor Robles? Like, Victor Robles is a future superstar.
Well, I think their mentality may be win now because they know they're not going to have Harper beyond next season.
Yeah. I mean, it's a weird thing, right? Because how much more would that really help this team? Because once you get in the playoffs, it's just a crapshoot. And there's no one in this division that's going to get close to these guys.
Like, absolutely,
it's such a mess.
There's a chance they'll be 20 games.
Yeah, it could be one of those
number
things.
Two team. Yeah, it's not going to be close.
Yeah, and then they're going to start resting players at the end of the year. It's going to be driving fantasy baseball guys up the wall. Because why are you giving him the day off? I need that extra hit. Oh, my God. One more home run, I would have won that category and won all the pride and glory and respect for my friends. Sorry, what?
Okay, let's move on. How about the Houston Astros and the AL West?
Oh, I'm definitely buying the Astros. You know, I'm always on the Astros. And last year, the only reason why they didn't win their division was because they were 3-15 against the Rangers. Well, this year's Rangers are more like what everyone kind of thought the Rangers were.
For the last two seasons.
Yeah, they turned into a pumpkin, and they've blown so many saves. They're another team with having huge bullpen problems. But the Astros have – the only thing the Astros don't – well, you know what? Keuchel's been ace-like.
Oh, yeah. He's.
I would say he's not quite an ace-like, but he's been ace-like.
He's been dominant, this season, though. He's back onto –
But part of that's because of that stranded base thing, left on base thing. You know, his left on base thing is like 98%. That's impossible. We went over this last week. It's impossible. No one can do that. Like, the best guys can do 78%. So the numbers are kind of belied, but he's definitely been like controlling games, and they're their best starter, and he'll get blown up a little bit.
I'm buying the Astros.
Yeah, they're great.
Let's move on to the Cardinals, who, out of nowhere, just emerged into first place because the Cubs and the Reds, who are kind of a joke, but the Reds had held the spot surprisingly up until earlier this week.
That's right. So the Reds were originally on this list, and then they fell off. And obviously, it's easy to say I'm not buying the Reds because they'll wind up the worst team in that division. They just don't have the pieces. They'll get some offense, but like, I don't know if you did you see the numbers on this? The Billy Hamilton and Jose Peraza, they're two speed guys. Both of them have like 270 on base percentages.
That's not going to help.
That's awful. Like, a okay on base percentage for a speed guy is like 320.
And that's the only reason why he even is in baseball is because of his speed.
Hamilton's the best center fielder in baseball right now.
Really?
Yeah. Over Kiermaier and Pillar. Pillar.
I don't know about that.
No, numbers.
Really?
Yeah, numbers. He's great. Buxton's up there, too.
So he's tracking down everything.
Yeah, but he is just, you know, whatever. He's on base for whatever, 75 steals.
Yeah, whenever he gets on base, he steals.
Yeah, but he's not getting on base enough. So
imagine if he did get on base, how many steals he'd have.
Right? Yeah. Easily 100 every year.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's ever going to be the guy that gets on base enough. But, you know, they're batting him leadoff. Mm-hmm. And that's a bad thing. Because he's again.
You do realize that we're talking about the Reds instead of the Cardinals?
No, I know, but the Reds were in first.
So you were all set to talk about the Reds.
They're going to collapse.
They will.
The Cardinals, I don't think, will collapse. I just think the Cubs are going to win the division.
Yeah, the Cardinals, to me, are an 85-win team, tops. I just don't think we may have said that. Although every year they never have anything. They don't have any of the, they rarely have superstar players. They haven't had a superstar player since Pujols left.
Yeah.
And they still win. And but last year was the first year, I think we talked about this a couple shows ago, that it was the first time in 6 years that they didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So it's 5 or 6 years. So I'm not convinced by any means. I think the Cubs definitely are the class of that division. So we'll see what happens there. How about the AL Central with the Indians?
Are they in first yet? Yeah, they're back. They're back in first.
They're in first.
The Twins were there for a while. That was cute. And but the Twins,
White Sox were too for a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. The Twins. I mean, here you go. White Sox are the worst in that division. Then Twins. Then Royals are the worst. Sorry, I completely forgot about it. They're awful, and they're so much more awful than
they will be selling.
That's the thing.
By the truckload at the trade deadline, everybody will be gone.
You think they're going to keep one, right?
Hosmer would be the one they would think they would keep, but he's been awful. Kane? Hosmer's been awful this year.
Yeah.
Gordon was the worst signing they've ever had in their history. When they ponied up a boatload of money to keep him.
And they signed Gil Mesh to a contract.
That's true. That's right. And he was their biggest contract ever.
Yeah.
Until they extended Gordon.
Yeah. Gil Mesh.
Yeah.
Free agent acquisition. Gil Mesh. Yeah, this team is a mesh, if you ask me.
Right. It is.
Listeners, you can use that at home. This whole team's a Gil Mesh.
So Cleveland got off to a slow start.
Yeah,
and seems to be riding the ship a little bit.
Well, they're having trouble hitting lefties. For some reason, they're hitting against lefties like bottom of the league.
And part of it, too, is they've played a majority of their games on the road so far.
Look at you with some research.
Oh, they play. Research. I just looked at a few things. So
that's research, pal.
They're 6-6 at home and 12-8 on the road. So they've only, you know, they played 20 games on the road, only 12 at home. But given that their record is better on the road, you know, who knows what'll happen. I just think that, you know, over the course of the season, you know, they'll obviously perform better at home.
Yeah.
We're going to see them. They should win this division by 10 games.
And I'm secretly really excited about Mike Clevinger.
Are you?
I mentioned him in the starting nine, but he's been absolutely dominating the minor leagues. Like, he has been, anyway, he might be that sort of surprise guy that comes up this year and just, you know, he's supposed to fill in, but now he becomes like their number three starter or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's really good. He's really good. Yeah, he's an exciting guy. He came up a little bit last year and didn't quite click, but he's been dominating the minors. Like Jose Berríos is dominating the minors, but he's not getting jerked around like the Twins are jerking around Berríos. But yeah, he's an exciting guy.
He's on your one to watch list.
Yeah, he's definitely one to watch. I think the Indians have they have Kluber, but he's on the DL, right? They have Carrasco, who's been awesome. You know, they're good. They're good. Oh, the bullpen is of course great. What's his name and who's it? What's it? Are doing
right.
Andrew Miller and
Shaw Miller and Jones.
Cody Allen.
I was thinking Cody Jones.
Allen and Andrew Miller have been incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, they'll regress a little bit, but it's a very nice bullpen, good starting pitching, good offense. They just haven't been able to hit lefties, and so once that sort of settles back to normal. Which Encarnacion should have been the solution to that, and for whatever reason, he's not adjusting well.
But this is normal for him.
Yeah,
always has a slow start.
Slow start. June, but also he'll hit 15
home runs in June. Trust me.
Yeah,
that's what he does every year.
You know, free agents always. There's always like a adjustment when you change period, teams. Right. There's always an adjustment, or almost always an adjustment, unless you're like Yonis Cespedes coming over, whatever, for the Mets 2 years ago. That was incredible. But anyway, so that's a factor. In Encarnacion sort of slow start, but yeah, he does usually then just cluster a bunch of homers together and all of a sudden his numbers look great. So
okay, last but not least is the biggest surprise of the first 6 weeks of the season is the Colorado Rockies leading the NL West.
Right.
I'm pretty sure you're not buying it.
I'm not buying it, but I will say I've been impressed. And I know earlier when we were talking about them, I was just like, there's not a chance. And
they were my surprise pick.
Yeah, they have been solid. Now, My problem with them is that their solidness is based a lot on really exceptional pitching performances.
In Colorado.
And I, gosh, if I just don't have the hardest time believing right. that's sustainable.
and especially when you look at the names.
Yeah.
There's nobody there that you would ever suspect to be, except for this, I don't even know how to pronounce his last, something or other. He's been one of the...
Senzatella,
the breakout kind of star for them.
Yeah.
Wasn't there, yesterday he had a no-hitter into the sixth innings? Or today?
Earlier today. Yeah. But here's the thing.
That's impossible, though.
In the history of the Rockies, like for a full year... How many great starting pitchers did they have?
No, never.
The only one I can think of is that one year Ubaldo Hernandez had. Remember? Ubaldo Jimenez. Yeah.
And Jeff Francis did early. This was back
Is it racist if I said Ubaldo Hernandez?
Probably.
That sounds a little racist, right? But Ubaldo Jimenez, remember he had like a 3.2 ERA for a full season in Colorado. That was impressive.
Yeah, it makes me wonder who their all-time ERA leader for a season is.
Don't you dare research that, John. Don't you dare. Do not set that precedent, sir.
No. Yeah, but I would bet Jeff Francis is up there as one of the with a lower ERA. I think he's probably. Who was the pitcher that was all-world with the Braves that signed in Houston and signed a huge
Darryl
contract?
Kyle?
Who was that?
The Kyle in Hampton is the big.
Yeah, Hampton. Yeah. What a disaster that was. Yeah.
Oh, Nagel.
That was Nagel's the one I was thinking of. Yeah, Nagel and Hampton were the two that were...
That was ugly.
Career enders. Oof. Not to say career enders, but they definitely destroyed their careers by going there.
Yeah. Yeah, because Hampton was like...
Dominant
with the Astros. Yeah. Was it the Astros and then the Mets?
The Mets. He was with the Mets. Was he with the Braves too? Yeah, Braves, Mets,
he was
Mets,
traded
and
from
Astros.
One to the other, made a playoff run, and then went to the Rockies. I remember thinking like, man... What are you even doing?
Where pitching careers go to die.
Yeah, and, well, he made all his money. It was the most money anyone had ever been paid, so there's that.
Yeah, he's good crying job, all the way to the bank.
Yeah.
Okay, so that wraps up Are You Buying It, the division leader version?
Yes.
So now it takes us into extra innings?
And I am not buying Devin Travis.
Not buying? No?
Not buying.
We'll turn it around.
Yeah.
Eventually,
Next week we'll buy him.
So we've got a few items on the list this week. One of them is a kind of like, okay, whatever. The Aaron Hernandez murder conviction has been basically expunged because he was unfortunately passed away while his case was being considered for, what's it called again?
Appeal,
yes.
Right. That's so the law is, and I don't know if it's just Massachusetts or wherever, but the law in Massachusetts is if you die before you can appeal your conviction, then the conviction gets expunged. And the only reason why this is important is, of course, technically now, Aaron Hernandez is not guilty of killing anyone, even though it looks like he killed three people.
Right. Or that we know of.
That we know of, at least three. But I think there's like a $6 million insurance swing here or... estate swing. Now that might get eaten up by victims'
legal
families
legal fees,
but I think I was looking into this, like, why are these lawyers pushing so hard for this? Who cares? And then I came across six million reasons.
Right,
so it's all about money, of course, because it always is.
Even in death, Aaron Hernandez is still making headlines.
Yes, exactly. Hell of a player.
Speaking of hell of a player, the sheriff. Literally, the sheriff, Shaquille O'Neal, is announcing that he will run for sheriff in 2020. And what city is he looking to run in?
Well, I don't know.
Oh, that's all we got?
No. I don't know because he hasn't decided.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, he's done like ride-along stuff. Like,
He was in when he was with the Heat. He was very much involved with the local police department.
Yeah, I think he started doing that with Orlando all the way back then. Mm-hmm. So, he's.
No, I just remember when I lived
active.
In South Florida, and he was with the Heat. He was actively involved with the local police.
And I don't know if you know this, but many sheriffs, many counties in the United States don't actually require previous law enforcement experience. To be eligible for
They just when the bad guys kill the sheriff, they take the badge off of the dead guy and put it on a new guy and say you're now sheriff? So that's
Be the original the origin of the those rules. Some states you have to have law enforcement experience. So I guess technically his experience might count, right?
Could, yeah.
I mean, I think he's taken a lot of experience with that.
Yeah, he has a lot of experience. I even think he's taken classes as well. So this is something that he's always wanted to do.
Anyway, it's Trump's America. Anything can happen. Shaquille O'Neal's the sheriff. Sure, why not?
Well, then I can't wait till we get to the last item on our list. Yeah, because anything can happen if this is a possibility. But okay, let's move on to basketball.
Let's just skip to that. Let's skip. We got two more weird political things. We'll just skip that other Celtics thing because no one cares.
I don't even know anything about it. So you
what the Celtics thing?
Enlighten me.
Right? Oh yeah, so the 2008 Celtics had a reunion on TNT, but they didn't invite Ray Allen because apparently no one likes Ray Allen.
Wasn't he one of the big three for them?
Yeah. No, he was a big part of that championship.
Right. So, yeah. That's just kind of strange.
Yeah. Another thing I found out while reading about this, did you know that Ray Allen is a Holocaust educator?
No.
That tripped me out. I'm all for it, by the way. Got nothing to... That's incredible, but it just seemed like such a weird fit.
Yeah.
But apparently it's something he's very passionate about it.
What do you want to be when you grow up? Either a basketball player or a Holocaust educator? I'm not sure yet. Well, why don't you do both?
Just do both. He got game, man.
Yeah, I guess so. So let's move into the last two items, which are both political.
Yes.
I'm surprised that the big political news of yesterday didn't make your list.
That's too political. That's
too political.
Everything, I can't figure out whether anything's good anymore, right? Like, I see this thing about Sally Yates and Ted Cruz, and like one group of people is saying that Sally Yates embarrassed Ted Cruz. And then some group of people are saying Ted Cruz showed Sally Yates what the law is really about. I'm like, you guys, if you watch the video, it's just two guys talking about the law. Who cares?
Right.
And then you got this other thing with Comey, like, really? So everyone thinks he should be fired, and then he got fired, and then, but he's in the middle of investigating Trump. Dude, he's not investigating Trump, just like Trump is not washing the towels at his hotel, okay? He's the head of the FBI. Right. He's not doing investigations.
And the one comment that made sense in the press conference today was that regardless of whether Comey's there or not, any ongoing investigations that are currently underway will continue to be ongoing.
Of course, because he's just the head of the FBI. Who cares? But anyway, so on to this more important stuff. First up,
yes,
former Melrose Place star Antonio Sabato Jr. is running for Congress in California as a Republican. That's the big news. Anyway, for those of you who don't remember Antonio Sabato Jr.
I do not.
Most people don't, but he's a very sexy...
I know the name, but I don't know.
Latin man, and good for him. And yes, that's the thing. The name, right?
Right.
The name. Who was the governor of California? Schwarzenegger. Because of his good policies? No, because of the name. So what's next? Dwayne Johnson says he might run for president. He says it's a real possibility. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Trump has paved the way.
I'm just saying 2 years ago, we would have all thought that was a hilarious sketch. Right. Like, what a silly thing for a person to say. How amusing. But it actually is in the realm of possibility.
And comics are having a field day with this, I'm sure. All of these. Truth is stranger than fiction.
Look, what I want is I want Gary Busey, okay? So if he has to be the vice president, I'm okay with that. But a Dwayne The Rock, I feel like, would Busey be a Republican, though?
I would really like to see Busey as, though, is the Sean Spicer role.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be great every day?
Yes.
You had to
see
him
as spectacular.
Leading the press pool.
The press secretary.
Every day, press secretary every day.
So great.
That would be awesome.
We solved it, John.
I think
another great show.
It was a great show. So let's hear it for The Rock. I mean, I can't wait to see what that's going to look like.
Yes. And then after that, in 2024, it's going to be the poop emoji.
Or Hillary Clinton.
Same thing.